Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome our visitors. We have a few visitors with us. We extend a special welcome to you. We're glad that you're here to worship our God with us. Dick said when he was, before he read the scripture reading today, our scripture is based on the concept, let your light shine. And it was Matthew 5:16 is a very kind of a short verse to the point, not a lot of, you know, secondary and secret meanings, you know, around it. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the verses in this passage was Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That says quite a bit. It's one verse. Jesus is talking to people. He's talking to people that are, some will follow him, some will become his apostles. Some may never even hear Jesus again beyond this. But he is saying, let your light, not other people's light, you shine your light. Only you can shine your light. Now, granted, the light he's talking about is a reflection of God. It's not different lights. We're not all shining different lights, but we shine them in different ways. You know, Karen has ways to shine her light that I can't. I have ways that maybe Chaz can't, but there's going to be people and there's going to be ways that Chaz is going to reach people that I can't. But he says, let your light so shine before men, and what the result will be, that they may see your good works. Now, we know from other teachings, we don't do it to be seen by men. But the result of our actions is that they see our works. We're not keeping things hid. He says they will, that they may see your good works, and then they will be able to glorify your Father in heaven. When we shine our light, the first thing that comes to my mind is the way we act. You know, that's something that people can see from a distance. How we're conducting ourselves, our conduct, whether it be in our family, whether it be at work, whether it be in our neighborhood, the way we conduct ourselves with our neighbors, the way we conduct ourselves with the bus boy or bus girl at the restaurant, respectfully, politely, little things like that. Our conduct, the way we conduct ourselves when things don't go our way. Man, I just stepped on my toes. I need a Band-Aid for that one. Our conduct, the way we act, is a big way that we let our light shine. But it's not just the way we act. It's what comes out of our mouth, our speech. Not just our language, although that's a big one. We don't want some of those words slipping out that really doesn't glorify God. But it's more than just good words or bad words. Are they encouraging words? Are they sound doctrine words? What comes out of our mouth? Our speech. People see our lights through our speech. For us, our thoughts too. Not a lot of people, some people know our thoughts by, you know, we kind of let our thoughts be known sometimes. But our thoughts are another aspect of our light. Our conduct, nothing that we do, nothing that we say come out unless we thought it first. Unless it went through our hearts and our minds first. So our light is sometimes reflected even in our thoughts, but also attitudes. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, went on and was teaching. You've heard it said, don't commit murder. But I say, if you hate your brother without cause, you know, you've already done it. That's attitude. Big deal. Pat on the back. I hope nobody could raise their hand in here that they've ever killed anybody. But big deal if you haven't killed anybody, Jesus said. If you have the bad thoughts and attitudes about somebody, you're still guilty of it. Big deal if you haven't committed adultery. If you had it in your mind, he said, you've already committed it. And so our light is so much more than just the things, the actions that we do. But when we don't let our light shine, when we don't, it says, when we let our light shine, they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But when we don't, the consequences are we give rise to the occasion for them to blaspheme God. This is what happened with David. When, after David had committed his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, Nathan came to him and he says, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Our actions, our conduct, our speech can do one of two things. It can be one to glorify, people can see it and glorify God. Or it gives them an occasion to blaspheme. You're a Christian after what I just heard coming out of your mouth? You're a Christian after what I heard you talking about? Or where you were, or et cetera, et cetera. We're told in 1 Corinthians, the context was about the Lord's Supper, but the concept applies to just about everything we do. Well, we don't need to just limit it to where Paul says, let a man examine himself. Our lives, we should examine ourselves, where we go. I needed to wear steel-toed boots today instead of shoes. But where we go, what message is that sending? What we do at those places we go. Who we're with. You've heard of the old thing, birds of a feather flock together. You know, who do we tend to flock toward? whether it be kids at school, adults, who do we flock toward at work? Who do we flock to in the neighborhood? Our recreation. What we laugh at. Ouch. I didn't tell the joke, but I sure laughed at it when it was told at work. And then chimed in my own 2 cents worth. Whatever. I don't do anything at work. I eat by myself in my room. So, but just using an example. I don't really socialize a lot. But what it is we laugh at? What jokes do we send out on Facebook? What memes do we like? What messages? And ultimately, it's kind of talking about what we condone. We're in a conversation with people, not participating in it, but by not walking away when it starts getting a little spicy, when we laugh at what's going on, when we maybe even throw our 2 cents worth in, it's saying we condone what's being talked about, what's being said. Let a man examine himself. I'd like for us to just look at a few scriptures. See what the scriptures have to say. Paul wrote to the Colossians, he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That kind of hits home. That our walk, our life, our conduct, speech, etc., is worthy of the Lord. Look at what Jesus had done for us. Is the way we conduct ourselves, is the way that we the way we let our light shine, is that worthy of Jesus or not? It says, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's one of those encouragements to keep growing. I don't care how many times we study the Bible. We learn more. And at least we should be learning more. And Paul is telling us we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. He will say almost the same thing to the Christians in Philippi. If Paul said it once, that's important. If Paul tells us something to do one time, that's important enough. But when I see it almost being repeated to the Philippians, I kind of think people needed to hear it. This is something that these people needed to hear, not only in Colossae, but in Philippi and in Las Vegas. He says, Paul said, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul is reminding the Christians in Corinth. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative. A foreign ambassador that serves in another country, they act on the behalf of the country they're serving. And Paul is saying, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. A large portion of Preston's Sunday morning Bible class this morning was talking about that concept in 2 Corinthians that Paul was stressing that idea of reconciliation. That we as people were separated from God. Sin does that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Paul is delivering people the message that we can be reconciled back in good graces with God. Talk about the good news. That's good news, that we can be reconciled to God. And Paul is saying that we are ambassadors. That Jesus said, let our light so shine before men. We need to remember, let's let that light shine because we're ambassadors. In Galatians 4, verse 9, Paul's writing to the Christians in Galatia, and he says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, and there's a difference there. You can know of somebody, but they don't have a clue about you. I'm dating myself, but everybody says, there's Elvis, you know. Best singer ever. No questions asked. No arguments. I won't hear them if you do. But Elvis, greatest singer there is. But he don't know you. He might. But it's a difference in knowing God, knowing of God, and being known by God. And then Paul throws out talk about let a man examine himself. He asks them a question. He says, how is it after you've known God and after he knows you, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's a slap upside the head. Why in the world would you, after knowing God and being known by him, turn back? That's not letting your light shine very well. Why would you turn back to the way things were before? Who would want that? And closing up, we've used this. You guys probably should be able to quote this one by now. We use this verse quite a bit in the Sermon on the Mount, in the same lesson that Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Just a couple of chapters later, he says, talking about knowing God and being known by him, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people know of God. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? they're asking Jesus. These are people that know who Jesus is, that would call themselves followers. Haven't we done things for you? We're religious-minded people. We've done this in your name. We've done that under the umbrella of a follower of you. Verse 23, Jesus responds. He says, and then I will declare to them. When they do that, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Big difference in stumbling and practicing something. Repeating it over and over and over and over. There's a difference in stumbling and living in sin. Big difference. I don't know if any of us can say we don't stumble. But hopefully we're not living in sin. Jesus was telling the people that were following him, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We need to let our light shine. We're at the beginning of a new week. We've got new opportunities to let our light shine. We've also have opportunities that we may need to shy away from. Maybe not participating in the same things that don't let our light shine. Because we want to glorify we want people to glorify God through us, not blaspheme God because of us. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repentance, through baptism, we urge you to come forward now as Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.